If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the HBO Boys podcast. Today we are talking about Pluribus, Season 1, Episode 7, entitled The Gap, in which we meander through existential crisis and literal rainforest. You and I, Adam, we submerge ourselves into this show just as the characters, you know, lose all faith in what is left of humanity or the rest of the hive. It's unclear, honestly. It's just general faith, also pointy trees that are scary.
Yeah, I mean, Carol not psyched. Manusos seemed more psyched about life, that is.
I mean, Manusos lit a car on fire and Carol tried to kill herself with a firework.
Carol almost lit herself on fire.
She looked deep into the barrel of a firework and her eyes said to me, "All right.
Yeah, this is it. I'm rapping in the door.
Yeah, let's call it a day." And then it went by her and she was like, so it goes.
I live another day in this hellholescape.
Heckhole.
This episode has gotten a lot of online flack from a bunch of plebs who don't know shoot.
Yeah, online flack, but I've also seen a fair amount of praise for this episode.
It feels like white knighting almost, though. Like,
yeah, for sure.
It is all in response to said flack, which, by the way, to detail quickly, everyone is just saying that this is a meandering episode. And by everyone, I mean the loud dissenters saying that this is a meandering episode where nothing happens. It was too slow for its own good. As Family Guy says about The Godfather, it perhaps insists upon itself. That is the vibe of the loud dissenter. And then you have the exact opposite side of the extreme of people coming to, like, they're defending Paul Dano and Matthew Lillard from Quentin Tarantino, perhaps. They're defending Pluribus from Haterade on the other side of the aisle. Both of them seem weirdly manufactured, and I knew of all of it before I started watching the episode. So when I watched it, my main thought the whole time was like, what are they talking about? This is pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, sure, there was not a lot of plot turning events, I guess, maybe in the very beginning and the very end, but like, so much was said with so little words, so many emotions going through both these characters, so many choices that were being made, harrowing you know, navigation of the gap, which is the Darien gap, super dangerous place in a jungle. And every bit of it for me was engaging. I didn't want it to end. It was a bummer when the episode ended because I really liked being a fly on the wall of both of these people's day-to-day lives in the, 30 or 35-ish days this took place over?
It felt almost like I was watching a Safdie movie, like any of the recent Safdie movies. Marty Supreme coming out, I know, is going to be this way. But like, Uncut Gems is the perfect example of this, where a lot of the time I was watching it, I almost felt like I wasn't being entertained only because I was so stressed. Like, was sort of like, for me at one point, watching two separate nightmares that are happening back to back. Like, Carol's nightmare of finding out that she, in fact, cannot exist alone, that she is this gigantic void is within her, and as it turns out, with Zosha and the rest of the hive mind gone, perhaps, you know, like, I think treating her like a child who's been put in time out, because how dare you can't give truth serum to our robot lady and try to tell her you the truth? How dare you? But like that nightmare of her failing herself and also like, you know, getting to a point within one episode where she almost tries, doesn't almost try, she just tries to kill herself.
Yeah.
And on the other side of that, a very real nightmare of sharp trees and bugs and snakes. That's just, you know, that's just grade A regular nightmare stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, for most of the episode, just following along with Carol, I was actually a little jealous. I'm like, man, I would love to just go out on the golf course whenever I wanted, see a buffalo, drive a Rolls Royce, you know. Some of that was like, seemed very relaxing. And it's really, I love the two sides of both of these characters. Like, it's so different in their own way. And I just really love that we're going to see them collide somewhere in the future.
Yeah, Carol had all the time in the world. She does have all the time in the world. Mm. She now doesn't believe that she can be turned because she won't be giving her stem cells voluntarily, although we did mention last time that her eggs are somewhere, and we wonder if that will come back up. But, you know, she has no other voices around her anymore other than the phone message that she keeps playing over and over and over and over again. In fact, I just kind of convinced myself that she was so alone that she was just trying to hear anyone's voice, why she wasn't as annoyed as anyone else would be by playing that over and over again.
As me, say, perhaps?
The fourth time I heard it, I was like, Jesus Christ, come on.
And I said last episode, I would stop watching the show if they played that message multiple times again. And they sure did. But I'll tell you, I am not going to stop watching the show. I straight up lied. And
you lied.
I lied. But like, you would think, you know, if that theory of her not wanting to, you know, just wanting to hear a human voice is not true, that she would say like, hey, I get it. Could you just make a shorter message thing? Like,
yeah, it's just more so I think, again, she thinks and she does have all the time in the world. Why rush through anything?
Yeah, that's true.
Be alone here forever.
She just throws it on speakerphone, continues navigating through her day, and then requests an ice cold Gatorade, and then requests it again because it wasn't as cold as it should be.
Like, it gets a tepid Gatorade and immediately complains, like, well, you know what? Try better next time, which is hurtful. And I liked it.
I know it was, and I felt like there was a. I mean, you know, hive mind is hive mind, but like, this is a little bit of a dig for no reason at all.
It's not a dig. I asked for cold and you gave me water. How dare you? You got to do one thing, right?
You know, it was flying through the desert air on a drone.
Figure it out. Get bigger drone and get a Yeti cooler.
Of Gatorade.
Yes. See, we figured it out almost instantly.
Yeah, damn hive mind. So dumb, dude.
She also wins the lottery. And
which
like
is
you
hilarious.
Said, yeah, she is hitting golf balls into buildings. She goes to a meal by herself. In fact, she has all the meals that she had with Helen in the past. She's humming songs the entire time. While she's at dinner, she plays I Will Survive on the piano, which is a Lawler Skates, Lawler Palooza, Lawler and the Family kind of stuff.
Yeah, I really love the dinner scene. I think that was great. Makes me really want to go to wherever they shot that on location because it looked pretty cool.
I did think, though, that at some point she was going to look across the table at nobody, perhaps then look off into the distance and be sad.
Yeah.
I thought that was the moment that she was going to break and just be upset that she's alone outwardly, but she didn't. At which point, I was like, oh, maybe she's just not upset. Like, maybe this isn't bumming her out. I don't see how that could be. But, I mean, I felt like she would be outwardly bummed there. And so it did catch me off guard a little bit when 5 minutes from then, she stared down the barrel of a 45 slash firework.
Mortar.
Yeah. A booskadiddly or whatever. However Joe Dirt described to fireworks. You know.
Hoosker do, hoosker don't.
Yeah, exactly. It did catch me off guard. I was like, oh, She gonna move.
Yeah.
She not gonna move.
She not moving. Oh, it fired. She didn't move. She just closed her eyes.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. Like, it seemed, like, so different. And but it was, like, a lot of time passed between this episode. I think it was something like 30 days, right? Or it was almost a full month that she was doing this routine. And we didn't get, like, time jumps with time stamps on Carol's story. We just kind of saw these all in succession, and we were left with the final scene of her sitting in the firework. But yeah, I would go crazy, man. If I had to spend a month alone, I think the first maybe week or two, I'd be like driving the Lambos, you know, hitting golf balls inside of buildings. But I would probably just sit on the couch for a long time.
You wouldn't have to deal with this, Adam. You wouldn't have scared the hive mind away.
That's
you wouldn't
true.
Have tried, like,
I'm
you
so nice.
Would have been using the hive mind, as most people would in this scenario, while sad about the whole family being gone and the human race ostensibly being over. I
for
think
sure.
Day two or three, you're like, well, I guess we're going, like Mr. Diabetes. I guess we're going to Vegas. I don't know.
Yeah, let's go to Vegas. I'd like to check out every European vista that I can on my own private jet filled with champagne.
Yeah, you would get sad. You would be outwardly sad. It
for
was
sure.
just it would just not be in this way, because this is a special scenario in which Carol scared away, and by scared away I mean, like, again, I think the hive mind is treating her like a little baby they put in time out, and they're like, she's going to come back to us. And then she did. She wrote it on the pavement, come back. And then Zosia pulls up, and she cries in her arms and hugs her. Now, granted, she
Wild.
Is now still under the impression that she cannot be turned.
Yep.
So perhaps that is why she has a bit of a soft spot, other than, you know, the terrible, terrible loneliness that she was feeling. About this moment, and when she finds out that, I don't know, like in the future that they took her eggs or something, she'll probably be pretty mad again, and they'll have a seizure and fall over
oh,
once
boy.
More.
Yeah, and
but
then the other 13 will reach out to her, or 12, I guess, will reach out to her and scream. That Indian lady will scream, "My son was crying again, you dumb bitch."
Or otherwise, "My son's dead."
Or, "Oh, Jesus."
Because sometimes when they do that thing, they die.
Yeah, because their brains can't handle it.
At which point, Carol will say something, I'm sure, not, you know, terrible. Like, your son was already dead. Like, okay, Carol.
Yeah, pretty much.
Let's pump the brakes.
That's no longer your son in there.
Which I guess she's already basically said. Manousos, on the other hand, like I said, in a literal nightmare, traveling through the Darien Gap, one of the most dangerous places on the face of this earth. If you go to Google Maps and you zoom in, as you're zooming into the top of tree upon tree upon tree, you and then like look up the weather, you're like, well, if I was there for 8 seconds, I'd be straight dead.
Yeah, that's literal nightmare. That is nightmare fuel. No paths, no roads. No shelter, except for save maybe a few caves here and there.
Yeah, but killer, who lives in what lives in the caves? You know,
well, you know, the Darien Gap.
You won't know. It's dark.
That's true. You won't know if you went in that cave. But the Darien Gap is typically used for like transporters or like drug traffickers.
Nice.
Yeah. So, but most of those people who go through that Darien Gap do not survive.
And Manousos, though, no, he's doing pretty good, actually. He,
you know, he did long, but he lasted longer than I thought he would, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I know. I gave him the Benny of the doubt at the end. Like, you tried your best, buddy. But, I mean, yeah. He will not use the hive mind for help. He is living his life harder than it has to be. He's learning English. The hive mind says, you know, just wave to the sky if you need any help, at which point he says nothing, but you can tell that there is a monologue, a chastising-based monologue coming here in the near future. He's leaving money on cars for the gas that he's taking, perhaps out of routine, or perhaps because, like, I don't know, when they come back, they're going to want money, and he has that sort of instilled hope within.
Sure, sure. Or he still doesn't have a full grasp on what is going on. Like, I know he saw Carol's video, but, like, that's the only thing he has or that we know of, right? Like, we don't really know much about how much he knows.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't... It's one of those things where he doesn't have the amount of self-preservation I would like him to have. Mm. Like, he's rejecting help in the face of great danger. It feels kind of dumb, but it is based off this, like, either latent faith or, again, just, like, him disregarding reality. I don't know if it's what brand of delusion it is, but whatever it is, he's lighting his car on fire and again now getting to the point where he does the monologue on basically saying, nothing on this planet is yours, my name is Menousos, I'm not one of them, I wish to save the world, everything you do or everything you are is stolen, and you know, part ways while I trek into this deep wood and hopefully not die or fall into a sharp tree.
Yeah, I suppose the he wants to save the world. Like, I mean, again, I'm just assuming that it's based on what Carol has sent him.
He wants to be a fellow superhero, baby.
Yeah. And I hope that he gets that chance. But I have a fear now that Carol has been solitary for a month and is just getting Zosia back and embracing her in tears, that she is kind of accepting of it and maybe will be less likely to team up with Menousos in the way he thinks that she may.
She was just punished. Perhaps it's that she just doesn't want to get punished again.
Maybe. Very true. Yeah.
Anyway, Menousos is now walking through the very scary forest and rainforest, that is. And he is like stumbling a little bit. He goes around one corner and realizes that he's like an inch away from the sharp trees that are long blue porcupine needles coming out of every inch of a tree, apparently, in the rainforest, terrifying. Which is a thing I didn't know existed and will now haunt my dreams for eternity.
Oh, yeah. Terrifying. Bacterial spikes that cause you to die.
Mm.
And they're everywhere.
The worst thing happens where he falls into one. And that sure was tough.
Yeah, he falls into one on his back very aggressively with full body weight nonetheless.
So deep.
Oh my god. And then he had enough strength to freaking pull himself off of it. Dude, that was like I was watching and I was cringing my face. I was like, "Oh god."
Yeah, and then I was like, "At least he's not going to cauterize it himself."
Oh man, guess what?
He did it.
He did do
that. Oh no. At some point, he doesn't give up, but more so just like his body is no longer active. He passes out and is saved by a helicopter. And again, I said, well, you tried your best, buddy.
Yeah, saved by a helicopter. Now, I saw he was waving his hands. Do we think that it was him like saying like, no, leave me to die, or like, okay, you can come?
I honestly think he was shading light from his eyes. if he was and just being like, oh, it's bright. Fuck, stop.
Oh, no.
I also liked the interstitial maps they were showing.
Oh,
like,
yes.
A little bit Indiana Jones-esque, which I really, really enjoyed.
Big time. Yeah, the cinematography and general filmmaking of this episode was absolutely great. Just these great shots of the jungle, and then Carol, just these huge wide shots of her in an element, or very up close shots of her like in a pool singing. It was such a well done episode, and I just really liked it. I love being that fly on the wall watching people spiral into submission.
That was a wild sentence you just said, man.
I know, it's wild. That was a weird choice of words, but I stand by it.
Do you? Okay, I'm going to copy-paste that right onto the application to the crazy bin, which is where you're going next, buddy, because you're crazy pants. Anyway, I looked up what watch Menousos was wearing because it looked sick. It's the Patek Philippe Golden Ellipse Reference 3666.
He has a Patek Philippe? That's crazy. How much is that watch worth?
It is $4,000.
Well, I mean, it is the afterlife, so
that's actually a cheaper one that I'm seeing. Yeah, no, it's looking so cool. What a very nice timepiece Menousos has. Probably, you know, passed down from generation to generation, all of which have been joined to it, and he's pretty mad about. So.
Yeah, I didn't notice his watch, but I'm going to look it up now and because I like Patek Philippe.
I thought you were going, I didn't notice his watch, but I did notice his moxie.
I did notice his moxie and all that other stuff. I'm looking at a map. Sorry, I'm looking at a map of the Darien Gap right now, and there's one single road that leads all the way down into Yaviza, with a little town called Yaviza, and in Panama, and it's Route 1, and then it ends at a hospital, which makes sense. That's like the last thing. But they have a Google Street View of this road.
Yeah, the end of it is just wild. Hospital surrounded by spike trees.
Spike trees, yeah.
That track.
But like, I can't, like, just looking at this map is terrifying. Because you zoom out and it's, you know, 30 miles of straight, 50 miles of just straight forest. Terrifying. God.
What a nightmare. I would die instantly.
And it's humid. It's a rainforest, so it's going to be wet and damp. And
A thing that doesn't happen through the TV is how wet, how hot, and how does it smell. All three of those, probably not chill.
Yeah, and the only upside of this is that it's not cold. Like, you're not going to freeze to death, but you might sweat to death.
You and I are different folks. That is, in fact, not an upside for me.
Oh, yeah, fair. You'd rather freeze to death.
100%. 1,000,000%, Adam.
I guess you just kind of go to sleep. I think that's what happens.
What? Yeah, that is what would happen. Jeez, okay.
Well, no. Like, when you freeze to death, you kind of just fall asleep.
I know what you're saying. I'm just saying the vibes in the last 20 minutes have been stellar. Listen to what I'm saying. You just go to sleep. Isn't that sick? Okay.
Did you know that the go to sleep is this wrestler's finishing move?
Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Okay, so this is a meandering episode or not, Adam, and is that a bad thing or a good thing? Is this perhaps more of a commentary on our attention spans than anything?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, no, it is. I think there are parts of it that are a meandering episode. I think this is great context for how each of these individuals handles different situations. I think it was really interesting to watch how this all unfolded and what their decisions were ultimately. And it's going to be interesting to see how the Hive reacts to both of their need for them now at this point, where Menousos is so against help, so against any information from them, does not want to talk to them. Now he is being saved. Do you think he's going to be super mad?
He's going to be so mad, but also, where is Bra going to wake up?
I have a feeling that they know that that he was going to see Carol. So I'm wondering if he will wake up in the hospital in Albuquerque.
I assume he will. And there will be people there implicating that some of the hive mind have come back. And he'll be like watching or sipping people by accident or something. Who knows?
He ends up in this town of Yaviza in Panama, and they have purchased him a brand new perfect replica of his car, and he will continue his journey.
I do sort of hope they do the fast forward version of this.
I do too.
Because I think we only have two episodes left, right?
Yeah, he's got to be meeting her by now for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to look back on this episode at the end of the season and think it was a waste of time.
No.
I really enjoyed it. I think people... It's not one of those things where I'm saying, like, if you didn't like this episode, you just don't like the show, so stop watching it. Like, I could a little bit understand the fifth time the voicemail happens and some folks, like, getting to the end of it and being bored. It's not outrageous, the idea, I don't think.
No.
But at the same time, once I settled in, it became incredibly entertaining. And
it's an
episode I'm probably going to watch back again in the future. And that doesn't apply to all episodes.
No. I think that contrary to a lot of the haters' belief, I think this is going to be a milestone episode. I think this is going to be an episode that people remember, whether it's good or bad. It's similar to, and a lot of people have been saying this online, is the Fly episode in Breaking Bad, which was very much a filler episode. I think that was during some sort of writer's strike. They needed to fill time for a week, and they came out with The Fly. And people who are huge Breaking Bad fans either really love that episode because of how different and how weird and how it was done, or they absolutely hate it, and any watch through, they skip that episode. Either way, I think it's going to live in the same area as that.
It's the Scott's Tots of Breaking Bad.
Elaborate.
Scott's Tots is an episode of The Office that the most people, while doing a rewatch, skip.
Why? Tell me. Well, why do you think they skip it?
I know exactly why they skip it. There's an entire scene in it in which the main character, Michael Scott, played by Steve Carell, is brought in front of a classroom full of children. He told when they were kids that if they graduated high school or whatever, he would pay for their college education. And now they are all, or if they're on honors, or they do something, and they're all, they did it, and he's now in front of them. And we are, as the audience, waiting for him to tell them that he lied to them all and is not going to be able to do that. And all of them are really looking forward to it. It's sort of the thing they've been working towards their entire lives. And then, so it's the most cringy shit that's ever existed. And
I watched
it once and I was like, I'm good.
Now I want to seek it out because, like, I like The
you
Office.
You should.
I watched all of The Office. I don't remember that. It clearly wasn't memorable, but I want to seek it out because I like The Office, but I don't understand the freaking, like, obsession people have over that show.
You're so chill.
I mean, I like it, dude.
You're so chill, dude.
I'm so chill, but, like, I just don't get it. And okay. I've seen multiple episodes. I agree. There's some of the greatest episodes of sitcom TV in that show, but it as a whole is just fine. It's fine.
Okay.
I think Parks
this
is
a
better.
Whole listen, man, this is a whole other podcast. Okay.
Know,
if we
want
to do The Office totality and be like, okay, well, obviously seasons 1, season 7, and season 8 were kind of tragic, then sure. But this is and if you take that as like a whole, like if you look at it at its entirety, yeah, does that kind of ruin it a little bit? It's the same conversation people have about Game of Thrones. Adam, how dare you? This is about plurbs.
No, I just think it was fine. I don't know. It was fine.
By the way, my favorite show of all time, West Wing, has 4 seasons or 3 seasons of after which the main showrunner / writer / creator left it, and everybody doesn't like actually enjoy as much as the first 4 seasons. Like, there that story is a pretty common story.
Yeah, and, of course.
I'm just happy that it's not going to be that kind of story for the plurbs because Vince Gilligan was given a bunch of money by Apple and everybody's watching it. So
everyone's watching it. There's 4 seasons planned. I think if we get the 4 seasons to full, in its full extent, and that is the full story, I would be happy with 4 seasons. I hate when people drag things out. I think Vince Gilligan is great at completing the story and have it being good. Breaking Bad, 6 seasons, I think. Better Call Saul, either 5 or 6, I think. And they just wrapped things up. They're some of the greatest television shows ever made.
4 seasons in an amusement park for plurbs.
Can you imagine a plurb as an amusement park?
It would freak me out.
What would be the roller coaster's name?
Oh.
I mean, it's so on the nose if you know anything about roller coasters.
I mean, I would just call it Hive Mind.
Nah, there's a roller coaster called the Mind Eraser.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they're not erased, Adam. Semantics.
I mean, are they though?
No, they're not. They're joined to Did.
Yeah, but are those people really there?
Kinda, like on a really
Do
small
they
scale.
Know that they're there.
I mean, yeah, a little bit. John Cena sort of knew.
Do you think that a person that's in the hive mind can process that the hive mind is controlling their brain and it's stuck in like a sleep paralysis?
Sort of a get out situation, I think, is what you're kind of talking about.
Sure.
I don't know. Are they all buried in there? Are they all pretty sad about it? Are they buried beneath the smiles? That's a good question.
We need someone to be disassociated from the hive and see that reaction. I'm very curious about that.
Yeah, a dropout, like an accidental dropout from the hive, so they can tell us stories from within. That would be chill.
You know, there was a lot of theories about Zosha coming back. You know, her being overdosed was the method of her being unhive-minded, disassociated. Yeah. But I don't
think
that that's
the case.
Maybe
she leans in and is just like, Carol, my name is... And then, like, says her actual name and her actual accent, and she's out, but she's faking it. Ooh.
That would be nuts. But I don't know. She showed up in the same car. Yeah.
The radio wave shit, I think, is the hive really keeping track of itself pretty well.
Oh, for sure. So a lot to explain over the next three seasons. We got two episodes left, right? Two or three? Is it 10?
Great.
Three.
I believe.
Nice.
Okay. Carol's out of timeout. What will happen now? Is Manousos going to be there with her? Will this dynamic duo change the earth for good? Or at least again within the last 45 days? We shall find out. And you can find out how to listen to all of our back catalog early and ad-free. In fact, Adam's going to tell you how to do it right now.
Yeah, you can find us on our Patreon at patreon.com/HBOBOIZ. For one or more dollars a month, you can get all of these episodes early and ad-free, and we even throw in a couple of Patreon exclusives there regularly-ish.
Sometimes. What are we doing next week? Tell them what we're doing next week, dude.
So next week, we're doing HBO Boys Holiday Christmas Special, and it's really Ryan and I have exchanged. We will be exchanging gifts and opening them on our show, recording it. Our reactions, we'll talk about stuff, and it's really just a holiday themed fun extravaganza of talking about Christmas stuff and probably enjoying a beverage or two in the making as well. A libation. Lovely.
We're doing libations, we're doing presents. Also, we're going to do the HBO Boys Awards, okay?
Yes,
where we talk
the
about
awards.
Our favorite best movies, best TV shows, best performances. You know, obviously the Oscars, Emmys, and Golden Globes exist, but none of them matter because the HBO
Only
Boys
ours.
Award is the one that everyone's really going for. So come back. That's going to be on Patreon early next week, and you can hear it early by doing what he said before. So,
yeah. And with that Patreon exclusive subscription, you do get all of your names read out at the end of each and every episode. So we'd like to thank
our current patrons. You could vote.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Please. You can join our private Discord and vote. Ryan is posting up polls. Go in there, vote, and you can get to be, you know,
in it. Incorporated, baby.
Your vote will be added. Yeah. You know how voting works. Yeah. Now, is this something that I can vote for too, Ryan? Should I vote?
Yes, I would like you to. Yes.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't know if that would, you know, skew the results.
Listen, you and I can skew. You and I are the arbiters, dude. I mean,
well, you just lost your audio, so I will be responding here by saying you can,
How dare you?
Get on our Patreon. I read each and every name. So we'd like to thank our current patrons, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner. Please, Adam. Please, Adam. Please, Adam. Please, Adam. Please, Adam. Please. I miss James. Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Susan, Buffalo Pizzles, C. Fritz, and Pumpkin Season 4. And an extra special thank you to Brent Ginn and Butter Nichols for being our $5 a month tier patron. We appreciate you. We appreciate all of you donating money and subscribing to our podcast. Please also follow us on our socials at the HBO Boys Podcast or the HBO Boys Pod on TikTok, Instagram, Threads. Very active over on Threads. Lots of movie talk, lots of plurb talk that you can get yourself into. It's actually very cool, very interactive. So you can get at me over there. Ryan, are you back yet? Can you hear me?
Yeah, man, I've been here the whole time.
Okay, your audio like cut out and I stopped hearing you. So,
well, that's, I bet, for the best.
Okay. Any last parting words before we give back some time to our patrons, as they say in the corporate world?
No.
Sick. Well, okay, bye.
Bye.